We'll stay in the house of the Lord today. Good to see some of you who've been traveling come back safely to us. Others of you who have been healing from COVID or some other illness, I'm just thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that we're able to gather together in God's house, that we're able to experience what I preached about a couple weeks ago and that I am going to preach about this morning, and that is God's faithfulness. You know, there are times in our lives when things just seem overwhelming, don't they? When you lose a loved one, when you are going through a medical condition, when there's some financial stress that hits your life, all kinds of things test our faithfulness. They test how much we trust in God. We know in our deepest heart that God loves us. We know if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior because He lives there. We know because He is a part of who we are that God wants us to succeed. But we also have the seed of doubt that just continues, that we constantly have to develop this faith, this belief, this concern and understanding. And so as we experience God's faithfulness, we need to be reminded of the fact that God has been faithful. He has been faithful to people long before you and I ever came to be. And we read about that in the Old Testament of the Bible. There are several books. One of those books being the book of Psalms, where we're going to be today in Psalm 1 and 5. And as we look at verses 42 through 45, we see the promise of God, we see the fulfillment of that promise, and we see the continuation of that promise in those that come after who the Bible speaks of, the Israelite people. In verses 42 through 45, the Bible says this. It says, "For He remembered His holy promise given to His servant Abraham. He brought out His people with rejoicing, His chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep His precepts and observe His laws. Praise the Lord." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Why is the psalmist writing this lyric? Why is he writing in this poetic way, this description of what God has done? Obviously, Abraham has long passed away. The Israelite people are no longer dependent upon Abraham to be the faith that they have to develop. They're looking to new leaders. They're looking for the coming of the Messiah. They're looking to King David at this time. They see David on the throne, and they see the answer to the promise that God made to Abraham. But they still have doubts. They still need to be reassured. They still need encouragement. I've shared with you many times that one of the things that I have in my life that I constantly struggle with is acceptance. In other words, I like to please people, right? Anybody else out here a people pleaser? I bet there's a few of you. And the problem with that is not that we want to make people happy. That's a good thing. But the problem is that we want to make people happy and not necessarily make the one person happy that we need to be, and that's God. God is the only person that we need to please, and He gives us a step-by-step instruction. I don't know about you, but I like to know what it is that I have to do, right? So when I go and I take a class, one of the first things that I look for, and we have the college students, so they hand out syllabus. Do they still hand out syllabus in college classes? And it's important that you read that syllabus. Why is that? Because that's what it tells you. They're going to issue your grade on at the end of the day. Whatever's in that syllabus is exactly what they have and they hold you accountable for. And guess what? God gave us a syllabus. And He said this. He said that if you follow the words of this Bible, if you read the words of this Bible, number one, you're going to know what it is that you need to do. And number two, He's actually going to do it for you. He died on the cross, so you don't have to do. You don't have to die. He isn't going to require us to be dead. You and I will be called into His presence. So it gives us hope. These words, the syllabus, maybe sometimes doesn't necessarily by itself give us hope in a college class. Sometimes you look at the syllabus, I just finished a class, I'm working on my EMT license, that's why I wasn't here last week. And so I was in a class, and as much as I complained about doing them on Sundays, we still had to be there. And I was there, and you know, there was a lot in that syllabus that we had to do. You know, we got a doctor in the house, we've had, you know, a dentist in the church family. There's a lot of detailed things that go through all that. Right? There's a lot of learning that has to be put in place. A way of actually, you know, in my legal training, it wasn't so much learning and memorizing, you know, volumes of law. It was, how do you think? How do you think like a lawyer? And some of you hope that I would forget that, right? Sometimes I do. But it's so ingrained in my mind that it drives me crazy sometimes because things don't flow the way that I was taught in school. I can't apply that logic to everything in my life. There's too much chaos. The law doesn't exist in chaos. The law doesn't exist in chaos. God created order. He gave us a plan. He said, I promise you this. If you believe that promise, then I will fulfill the promise, and you can take that to the bank. That's what God said. In verse 45, we see, 42, we see this promise. We see the promise that He has made, that He was going to fulfill and to make the Israelite people bountiful, that they would be plentiful, that they would be all over the earth, that the father Abraham would have more people in his, that he would have descendants all over the world. Father Abraham. And Jesus Christ is just as faithful as the promise that God made to Abraham, because He is God. Jesus promised us that we would have hope of an everlasting life if we would just believe in Him. If we would acknowledge that He lived, that He died, that He rose again, and that He lived the perfect life, and that He came here for one purpose, and that was to fulfill the oath, to sacrifice Himself for us. But God commanded some things, and He said, how are you going to be faithful? How are you going to show me that you understand? He brought them out with rejoicing, His chosen ones with shouts of joy, and He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for. Now, I've spoken to you about this before, warming yourselves around fires that you didn't build yourself. My grandfather worked really hard, right? Greta's grandfather built a farming community over in his town in Ohio. Greta and I own that farm now. That is nothing that I work for. It's nothing that Greta worked for. Her grandfather worked for that. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Jesus lived on the earth. He toiled. He fought. He died so that you and I could enjoy the benefits of hope and of company, of enjoyment, of fellowship with God. We don't have to die if we would choose to follow Him. We don't have to worry about there not being something better than what we're living through today. We don't have to be concerned to the point of losing hope with COVID, because we know that in the end, God prevails. And we know that He is stronger, that He is mightier, and that He has the power to overcome it all. He is faithful to us. And as a result of that, He requires something from us. He requires that we keep His precepts and observe His laws. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means that we try to do good, that we love each other, that we are unified in this gospel that we preach, that we are out here in the world being the light in the darkness and not bringing more darkness. We have to be the light. We have to treat God with respect. We have to show Him that we love Him. And so what happens from that? We see that He brings them out with rejoicing. He gives them shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations that they fell heir to, what others had toiled for. The Israelites that had wandered in the wilderness with Moses for all that time, they're the ones that toiled. And we get the benefit of that if we are obedient and recognize the power of Christ. If we recognize the power of God. What a wonderful blessing. Do you believe that God is just as faithful today as He was to Abraham, or that He was to David, or that He was to the disciples as they lived their life? Or do you live your life in doubt, wondering whether you're worthy, whether you have pleased God enough that you deserve to be given the benefits? I shared something to the church Facebook page this week, and it was a survey that was done of the number of people that question whether or not they're going to go to heaven. And these are people, at first the survey I thought was of maybe non-believers in addition to people who have professed a witness in Jesus Christ. But this survey was done of people who profess their belief in Jesus. But yet they still doubt. The majority of those who were questioned at least once a day, the majority at least once a day question whether or not they're going to go to heaven. But yet they profess a belief in Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place today not having assurance of knowing that you're going to heaven, that your salvation is secure. The Bible tells us that Jesus came, that God sent His only Son for the sole purpose of saving the world, saving you and saving me, of giving us a hope that we would be able to be reunified as He did at creation in His perfection when He created humanity, that we would be able to have communion with Him again. And if you believe, if you have faith, then you will be in the presence of God. There is no doubt. Satan loves to, you know, try to remind us of our sins. He loves to try to make us doubt whether we're worthy. He wants us to not believe and to live in fear, to live in some insecurity that we no longer have that joy that we read about there in verses 43 and 44. He doesn't want us to share that. Why is that? You ever had somebody in your life that just was miserable? That all they wanted to do was just cause you to be miserable? I've been that person a few times with my little brother. I wanted him to be miserable. I loved him so much, I just wanted him to know it. I wanted him to realize the aggravation and the pain that he had caused me in certain things. Trivial things. Stupid things. There are people in the world that have rejected Christ. There are people that are living in darkness, and all they want, all Satan wants, is for you to live in darkness. He doesn't want you to see the light. He doesn't want you to be joyful. He doesn't want you to have hope. He doesn't want you to have a security. He wants you to be insecure. He wants you to be afraid. You know why? Because you can't serve God if you're living in darkness. You can't. The only way that you can serve the Lord is if you truly believe in Him and the light is shining through your life. Hate is not of God. Fear is not of God. Fear is an enemy, is the tool of the enemy. Insecurity, all of these things are of Satan. delight, joy, peace, the fruits of the Spirit. We've talked about those before. That's in the Lord. Those are the blessings that we get if we have faith in Him. That's what we experience when we have faith in God. There's peace and joy. A feeling of belonging. You know, it always amazes me that people who haven't been to church in decades still want to make sure that they list on their obituary that they were a member of XYZ church. You know what that says to me? And sometimes it's not really a funny thing, because what it says to me is they still valued that relationship that they had at some point in their life with the people of that community of believers. It really is a sad thing to realize that their faith wasn't strong enough that they wanted to associate. I look forward to coming and being with each of you. I look forward to that. Now some say, well, that's because you're the pastor and that's your job. No. When I was, a Christian, ever since I've been a Christian, I've wanted to be with other Christians. Right? That's because Jesus, that's because the love of God, that's because the faithfulness that God has put into my life had me to desire that. And the good news of seeing them list the church in their obituary is they never lost that hope. They never lost the peace. They never lost knowing how much it means to be a part of a body of believers. And so, you know, when Grandma used to read the obituaries and see, you know, Joe Smo from down the road that hadn't been to church in 20 years and say, well, what did he put that in there for? You know, I can tell you why he did. Because he wished he had, or his family wished he had, a better relationship with those believers than what he did. Being a part of a church, being a part of a body of believers is an important strength. It's an important part of who we are. We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning about our name and how important it is, and pride that comes from being a Davis or being a Coon or a Weaver or a Bainey or an Andrews or whatever it is. Hendricks. But the best name you can have is a child of God. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this scripture tells us that it bestowed upon you the title and all the honors and all the privileges thereto of being a child of God. That's God's faithfulness to us. He is, and when He makes a promise, He does exactly what He says. And we just need, He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be faithful to Him. But you know what He does in addition to giving us that obligation? He gives us the power to do it if we pray to Him for it, if we ask Him. He gives us the courage and the strength that we need to live a life that's pleasing to Him. No other way to do it other than through Him. Because I don't know about you, but I get tempted an awful lot during the week when I'm not here in this church, in the sanctuary. I get tempted with laziness. I get tempted with, well, I'll get a hold of this person next week, or I'll read the Bible a little bit more next Sunday. Maybe tomorrow morning I'll be able to get up a little earlier so I can read my devotion. Or I get tempted to, boy, that person just doesn't like me anymore. Maybe I'm not doing my job right. Although I've come to conclude after 13 years in ministry that if you like me, I'm probably not doing my job very well. I don't know. I do know this. I know God's faithful. I know He loves us. I know He wants us to serve Him. I know He has a mission. He has a plan. He wants every human being on this earth, on the planet, everywhere, to know who He is. He wants them to know He loves them. And He's given each of us a commission to go out and be His hands and feet. And to be there when they're sick, to hold their hand, to give them hope. Those that are experiencing financial distress, to help them through that. Those that need emotional support, to listen, to be present, to let the love of Christ flood the earth and chase the darkness away. Because He is coming home. And when He comes back, those who have chosen to reject Him will be condemned to hell. Think about that. I live on Brickley Drive. That's where you all have chosen to build a parsonage for me to live. And in that street, there are people who are lost. In my community, where I live as the pastor of our church, every day I live my life. I do everything I can to witness, to let them know about the love of God. And mostly what I do is just live and try to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Because through that they see, and His witness is put out so that folks are able to see the love of God. You have the same thing on Hagen Lane and on North Beach Street. Wherever you live, there are people that don't know God. There are people that don't know who He is, that are on the fence, and they're watching you to see how you react to the life situations. Do you react the same way they would, with anger, with disunity, with discord? Or do you react with peace and still finding joy in knowing that you serve a God that is going to be faithful to you no matter what the circumstances are that you face in your life? They're watching. That's why you're here. That's why God put you here. We all have a purpose. We all have some need that God wants to fulfill through our lives. As we prepare and have our invitation hymn, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." If you aren't a believer in Jesus Christ, don't leave this place today without knowing this faithfulness that I'm talking to you about. Without knowing what it is that this scripture talks about. Knowing who God is. Knowing the peace that He can bring to your life. Knowing the joy that you can have only through a relationship with Him. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn.